I want to set the record straight right off the bat, okay? This is not about me. This is about what God did. Okay? So I'm going to start out something real quick. I've already told the A-team I want them up here. Y'all are fixed to meet the A-team. K, front and center. Jason. Jason, Lisa, up here. Leanne, Tony, up here. Gary, Carolyn, up here. Y'all pray for me. I thought I was ready for this, yes. If it was not for these being with me during these last months, I'm not sure if I would be here. Every one of these played a part in my being where I am today. So I'm going to get a little light with it, okay? Jason, I thought I'd lost him one day. They were rolling me down the hall, and the orderly turned the corner, and Jeff, I had an IV pole, and that IV pole hung something, and I had an IV right here, and it went boom. And Jason went, oh!
He was with me.
I was there.
Oh, no. Both of their eyes looked like headlights.
The poor boy that did it, his headlights.
Oh, man, he was bad. Tony, come here. Tony comes to visit me while I'm in the hospital, and I'm sitting there with all this mess hanging all around me, and he looks up and he says, "Mr. Carroll, why don't I just squeeze this bag and get you some more juice in there quicker?"
And then they both fell asleep.
Works, don't it?
It does.
This used to be my brother-in-law. He's not my brother-in-law anymore.
We're common-law brothers.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you need a ray of sunshine, I got a sister that brings a ray of sunshine right into your life.
Just a little trouble.
But it kind of worries me today. Vicky, this really worries me. If y'all notice, they dressed alike.
So when I'm not here, it's all you, girl.
Lisa's my go-to person. All of a sudden, if somebody says, "We may need this," and lo and behold, it appears. And come to find out, somebody has ordered it.
Amazon is my friend.
Yeah, you're fixing to get it.
I've always been subjects of your sermon, so.
No. This is my buddy, okay? Because whenever they put me into ICU, and I kept wondering why in the world were they being so nice to me. And come to find out, this young lady went to the charge nurse of ICU and told, and I'll mention his name now and I'll mention it in a minute, she told Mitch, "Mitch, do you love your daddy?" He said, "Well, yeah." She said, "Well, you treat that man in there just like you treat your daddy." Mm-hmm. And they did. And then, of course, found out she did the same thing while I was in rehab.
Yep, sure did.
Told all them nurses, "You treat him like you treat your daddy."
It's the only way I'd leave.
Yeah, babe.
18.
My little Q-tip.
Ooh, no, you didn't.
I don't know how many hours she spent beside my bed rubbing my head. Can you tell?
Rubbed all the hair off.
She rubbed every bit of the hair off the top of my head. But I slept so good while she was doing it. It was so good. But she has stood beside me through so much. And I thank the Lord for the blessing he has given me through all of these. And I think they need a round of applause. John, go sit down now. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to get through this. Well, Jeff, I don't know how many times I've rewritten this thing in trying to figure out how to do it. In the best way I know how, I know my wife did a beautiful job because she put it up like a mosaic. I'm going to put it up like a timeline because from about August the 5th until about November the 25th, or was it somewhere thereabout, we came home. Somewhere around November the 25th, November the 15th, we came home. And it just kind of all ran together. But Kay was doing something that just kind of fell right into place for me because she was keeping a calendar and day by day of what was happening going on. And I kind of want to walk through some of this with y'all. Have you ever found yourself in a place that you really didn't expect to wind up? Can I get a word? Well, that's kind of the way it was with me and the way it was with Paul. You read about Paul, if you go over to Romans chapter 15 verse 24, Paul talks about wanting to come to Rome and to preach to the people there in Rome and to share the gospel with them. That was his plan. But if you go back over to Acts 21, verse 33, all of a sudden you find Paul arrested there in Jerusalem with chains wrapped around him. And he eventually winds up in Rome with those chains and in prison. Not quite the way that Paul wanted to wind up. Not quite the way he had in mind of going to Rome. And you wonder, okay, how did he deal with it? I'm so glad we got his prison records, his prison letters. Because if you go to the book of Philippians, you find a couple of things. I told Kay the other day, I just felt like Satan was trying his best to keep me from giving this testimony, but I'm going to show him today, okay? Because I've been dealing with this sinus mess and congestion and cough and every once in a while I'm going to cough, so y'all just excuse me. But if you go to Philippians chapter 1, first of all, let me read a couple of verses to you. In verse 12, Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's saying, "Hey, yeah, I wound up in prison. I wound up here in Rome. But the gospel's being preached. It's being preached." You drop down to verse 18, and it says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." Praise the Lord. Let me tell y'all something. That's about the way, that is the way, that I finally had to accept the things that were happening to me over the last several months. God was in every bit of it. He was right there. None of it caught him by surprise. Boy, did it catch some of us by surprise, though. Okay, baby? Yeah. And then he says something, and I'm going to come back to this verse again, so y'all mark it down. Philippians chapter 4. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God. And that's how I want to get into what I want to tell you today. Because you see, during all of this that has happened to me, God has given me a peace. And I'm going to kind of work it in as I go. So y'all bear with me, okay? August the 5th, they did a biopsy on me. And I may have already told y'all this. I may repeat some of the things that have happened. But they did a biopsy on me. I had been losing teeth. I had a lot of pain in my jaws. So they dug all the way down to my toenails and got a biopsy and sent it off. That day we met Dr. Ghali. That's G-H-A-L-I, Ghali. His first name is also Ghali. So it's Dr. Ghali Ghali. But he's got a nurse. And I am a firm believer now that behind every doctor, there's a good nurse. Her name is Diane. And you're talking about a lady that stayed with us. The only way I can explain it, God put her there in our presence. One of the things that Kay and I prayed for before, as we worked into this and began to move into it, one of the things that we prayed for was that God would put good people, caring, compassionate people in our midst and into our lives. That was the first one, Diane. August the 19th, we went back, got the results of the biopsy, stage 4 surgery because of the size of the tumor. Tumor at that time was almost 2 inches. Surgery. They described it to us. They go in, they take I'm gonna get it wrong if I say it, the femur, the small bone, the fibula. I no longer have a fibula in my left leg. It's up here. I got a leg up, okay? Hey, I got the whole leg, brother. But they take that out, they come up here, they reconstruct my, they take all my jawbone all the way back to the mandibular angle. I'm gonna get technical here. They take out everything from the mandibular angle forward and rebuild all that. I've got a titanium rod running all the way around here. And you can, in the x-ray, you can see where they took that bone, the bone, and they put three pieces in. That's my jawbone now. Red, I may be able to chew rusty nails by the time all of this is over. I don't know. As stout as that thing is, it ain't going nowhere. Sounds simple, doesn't it? 10-hour surgery. September the 22nd. W.A., my birthday. Guess what day they had my surgery on? My birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Yeah. I don't know who it was, but I was loving the world whenever they took me out of that room. They said they could hear me all the way down the hall. I love you. I don't know what that stuff is, but it's some good stuff. I didn't know it, but he and I carried on the conversation. Come to find out, the son of one of the guys that I graduated high school. Okay. One of the ones that I graduated high school with, Dub, it was Glenn Salter's son, Trey. He does anesthesia. And whenever Dr. Golly rolled me into the OR room and he announced who the patient was, Trey said, "I know him." And apparently we carried on the conversation because Dr. Golly said, "Y'all talked about everything," before they finally put me under. Surgery's over. Several days we spent there in that ICU. Mitch, Stormy, Cade, Ashley. Oh, I was so ugly to Cade and Ashley. They had this big old thing wrapped around my leg down there, and Cade and Ashley were fixing to change my bandage. And just about the time Cade came with the scissors down there by my foot, Tony, it overcome me, and I hollered. And Cade went, "Oh!" And Ashley just kind of shook his head. He said, "Did I hurt you?" I said, "No, I just messing with you." Come to find out that boy's first day on the job. I had the privilege of going back to the ICU a few weeks ago with Leanne. She took some scrub caps to the ICU. And Stormy and Cade were both there. And I said, "Cade, I just got to apologize to you." He said, "That's all right. That's all right." He said, "I lived over it." But again, those four touched my life. But the opposite is also true, because I think I touched their life too.
They know what forever rely on God means, don't
they? They what?
They know what forever rely on God means, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I gave them a frog. Some of y'all know about that frog. But I gave him a frog with that forever rely on God. And asked him to keep it there in the OR. I mean in the ICU room. Just to remind them of the job they're doing. The 29th, we were headed home. While there in the ICU, I managed to walk all the way around the ICU control center. Me and my big old boot that I had on. By the way, the name of that boot was Joby. Y'all can figure that out if you want to, but Jason told me, yeah, just think about somebody or something that really aggravates you. I said, that ain't hard. His name's Joby. So I named my boot Joby. And managed to walk all the way around, and they said, Carol, you want to go home? I said, yeah. Well, yeah, I want to go home. So they rolled me out of ICU in what they call a step-down unit. And there was a respiratory, I guess she was respiratory, I don't know what she was, speech therapist. And she said, has he had a swallow test? I said, no, ma'am. Now, I've only been 6 or 7 days out of surgery. So they took me down to the laboratory. They began to give me a swallow test with barium. I'm not sure what all went transpired in here, in this part of it, okay? Because it's kind of a blur. I know they stopped the test and they rolled me back out into a kind of a holding area. And as I sat there, I began to drip something white out of my mouth and out of my nose. And the longer I sat there, the weaker I got. And eventually an orderly came and rolled me back up to the room. I barely remember getting back to the room because by the time I got back to the room, I was slumped all the way over in the wheelchair, could not sit up. Back up just a few minutes now. Whenever we got to that room, there was a young nurse by the name of Jordan. And her and Kay talked. And she was asking Kay who his doctor was. Who my doctor was. And she told him, Dr. Youssef. And she said, I don't think I have his phone number. Kay gave her Dr. Youssef's phone number. That's another name I'll mention in a little bit. But when I got back to the room, apparently, I was out of it. And whenever Jordan saw me coming down the hall, she realized something was wrong. She got on the phone. She got Dr. Youssef on the way. She got, I don't know how many people she got up there. But when I finally came through, too, I was laying on the bed. Do y'all know what a suction is? Well, it's about that long. At least it feels that long. Dr. Youssef was running that suction. I had a trach. Dr. Youssef was running that suction down my trach and into my lungs. And sucking all of this white junk out. Each time he did it, it literally takes your breath away. You cannot breathe. I come to enough to look around the room. And this room's probably about 10 or 12 by 12. And it's lined with people. Nurses. Therapists. And Dr. Youssef and a, help me out, okay, what was it? The other guy that was helping him.
Respiratory
therapist were working on me, because that barium, if they had left it in there, it would have turned to more or less concrete and I would not be here today. That's the second time I knocked on death's door. The first time I was in ICU, Jason was there. Dovid scared the heck out of me. I came out of surgery. I was laying there in the bed on my back, and all of a sudden, I felt my tongue just drop to the back of my throat. And I couldn't breathe. I thought I was suffocating. Dummy me. Forgot I got a shirt. It didn't matter what that tongue did. That trach was breathing. 2 times I knocked on death's door. 2 times a panic attack. As Dr. Youssef worked on me, he would say, I need this or this or this. And I mean, before he got through saying it, one of those nurses along the wall had it in their hand and handed it to him. He saved my life that night. We were supposed to go home. We did. We went back to ICU with Mitch and his crew. Okay, I hadn't told you this. But when they were doing all that work on me, and I saw you standing there by yourself, I said, Lord, just don't let me die in front of her like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. What? Just keep going. Folks, take your watch off, throw it on the floor. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll move along. I'm taking way too much time. October the 5th, we came home. Man, what a day. PT came that same day, didn't he? Or the next day. PT came that next day. I walked as far from here to those steps over there and was so out of breath I had to sit there. Did not have any energy. But I was home. I was home. What a day. October the 8th. Hadn't been home but 3 days. October the 8th. I had what's called a GI bleed. I bled probably about a pint of blood in just a matter of seconds there at the house. Amber tried to Shreveport, back in Willis-Knighton, back in ICU, once again. Ran some tests on me, didn't find anything that time. October the 11th, second GI bleed. Still, no indication. October the 14th, I had not had another bleed, so they moved me over to a rehab called Cornerstone. Cornerstone was a beautiful place, but it wasn't home. I got 2 units of blood there and some iron, trying to build me back up. I got to Cornerstone on the 14th. On the 17th, I had my third GI bleed. Well, this time they said, we're going to find out. So I'm 77 years old, okay? I have never had a colonoscopy. Just never had it. But I have now. They told me they were going to do a colonoscopy on me. I said, okay. Well, when they rolled me back from Cornerstone back over to the hospital, I had an NG tube in, and they had been feeding me through that NG tube, and when they disconnected me, they left all of that Lucerna in there, and it had set up. And I had the most patient nurse, worked on that thing for over 2 hours, because she was trying to give me go lightly. It wasn't going nowhere. And she worked on that thing and finally got it open. And I went lightly. Yeah. And I did. So they rolled me down there. They were going to do the colonoscopy. And they said, oh, by the way, we're going to look down your throat too. I said, whoa, wait a minute, time out. All they said was the colonoscopy. And they said, no, you don't understand. Your wife said she wants to run it down your throat too. I said, okay. She didn't tell me, but okay. So we did. Nothing. Nothing. Not even an indication of where the bleed was coming from. And all this time, to me, God was saying, Carol, I've got this. I've got this. Peace. Peace. October 22nd, we came back to Cornerstone. Katie, Hannah, Sonovia, and John. John was my PT man. I wish there was some way I could show you a video that Gary's got on his phone that I got on mine. It's my inspiration. It's them getting me up out of that bed and walking me for the first time since September the 25th. September the 25th. Man. God is so good. He blesses in so many ways. I mentioned Katie and Hannah. One day, my NG tube stopped up and they pulled it out, put a new one in. I pray none of y'all have to do that, because you have to swallow that sucker. I did okay on that one. A few days later, on November the 5th, they gave me a little swallow test. I didn't do well on it. But they had pulled that NG tube. And Katie and Hannah were going to put another one in. I don't know where that thing wound up, but it was not where it was supposed to be. And I was sitting there gagging, trying to get a breath. And it scared Katie and Hannah, because I don't think either one of them had ever seen somebody like that. Panic attack 3. They pulled that sucker out, and I said, I don't want a peg tube. I got him now. He's with me right now. Y'all pardon me. On November the 15th, we came home. (Clears throat) We came home. I got out of the car. Jason had the wheelchair there, walker there. And I said, I'm walking in. I walked into the house and said, my recliner. And it felt so good to be home. That's where we've been ever since. When I came home, I weighed all of 136 pounds, soaking wet, including my hair. What was left of it after Kay rubbed it all off. And since then, she and I have been working and trying to put some weight back on me. Praise the Lord, I'm up to 167 pounds. Y'all look out, buddy. I'm talking, we are talking fighting weight. My goal is somewhere around 180, 190. So very quickly, I want to do something. Just one other time, because I want to mention this one. I started radiation on December the 13th. Supposed to have been 30 rounds of radiation, radiating the jaw all the way around. They put a mask on you. It's kind of like a piece of plastic to start with, and they mold it onto your face. Your eyes, your nose, your chin, your mouth, it's molded. When they lay you on that table, they put that mask on you and they fasten that sucker down. When they fastened that sucker down for the first time on me, I had a panic attack. I said, I cannot breathe, I cannot breathe. And they let me up. Praise the Lord for doctors like Dr. Dursey. Because you see, he understood, but at the same time, they found something in my mouth that wasn't right. I had an infection in there that needed to clear up. And God good, he put an infection in there to give me a little time to get adjusted. That's what he does, folks. That's what he does. But I managed to finally overcome my fear with the nice little pill there for a while. But I took that radiation, and we're through with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But in the midst of all of this, I asked myself, okay, Carol, what can you take away from this? What do you take away? First is that peace. I'm a firm believer that Horatio Spafford has sat by a river somewhere. Because the first line of that song, it is well with my soul. Do you know what it is? When peace like a river attendeth your way. You got to sit beside a river to enjoy the peace of a river. To enjoy the peace of God, you got to come into his presence and sit with him in his presence day by day. That is not something that whenever you get into a hard place, all of a sudden you say, Lord, give me peace. You can't know it until you've lived it day by day and allowed his peace to truly overcome. Paul said it. In the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That's the peace of God. And let me tell you something. Another thing that I can tell you that you can take away from this. I'm not special. This is something that each and every one of us can have. If we simply work toward it and ask God for it. I found myself a number of times in the hospital. By the way, we spent 22 days in the hospital, 30 in rehab, 52 days. And I'm just now beginning to get a taste of food. For a long time, from September the 22nd until January of this year, I had not had anything in my mouth. Dennis, enjoy your food, brother. Enjoy your food. That's all I can say. But in the midst of all of this, I found myself saying, I want more Jesus. I want more Jesus in my life. But that's something we shouldn't have to wait until we get into situations like I was in to say it. So now I'm saying, I want more Jesus in my life. I want him in my life. In every turn, every setback, every time, excuse me, I'll be honest with y'all. Every time one of these things, the swallow test, the GI bleeds, and all of this, I was beginning to feel like a baby giraffe. If you've ever seen a mama with a baby giraffe, that baby giraffe will get up, and that mama giraffe will knock that giraffe down, that baby down. And she'll do that about four or five times before she leaves that baby alone. And they said what that mama's doing is teaching that giraffe to get up. To get up. Which apparently is very difficult for a giraffe to do. Every time I got knocked down, God was saying, I got this. Let's go. Get up. Get up. There is a gospel hymn that says, I am a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my brain, through my veins. That's us. We're a child of the King, and we got royal blood in us. And we need to praise the Lord for it. Bottom line, it's a relationship. I don't know how many times I have preached about the fact that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And if you don't have that relationship with the Lord, you'll never know his peace. You'll never know his strength. You'll never know what it means to be a child of the King. Brother Jeff, thank you for allowing me your pulpit. Thank y'all.